Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, Traticaster.
Yo, yo, what's up? Hold on one second. Can I hear you? That would be explaining why I couldn't hear you. All right, what's good, bro?
Chilling, how are you feeling?
All right, man.
Still sick? Oh, no way, man.
Bro, I have no idea. You know what's funny? That guy, that scout that I freaking talked to, he's like, oh, be careful. Don't get sick. The next thing I know, I get fucking sick.
Why would he say that? He must have been sick.
Like, he was like, well, last time I was out here, you know, I got sick in summer league, so make sure you don't get sick. And I was like, the fuck?
Yeah, it means he got sick. Yeah, he was sick.
Fucking cocksucker.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. I knock on wood. I rarely get sick over summertime. It's usually just like fall, winter when the weather breaks.
Me too. This is abnormal.
Mm.
This is very abnormal.
Woo.
Do anything good this weekend?
Yeah, my homie got married. Hang on one second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. Envelope. Yeah. Yeah. So check. No, and check the car. That's the truck.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, let me know if it's not in there.
No, it's right here.
Okay. Uh huh.
He said he put it back inside. I tell you, his son put the knife bag on the side. His son put it on the side of the bag. Because I saw him. I told him.
Check. Yeah. Yeah, check.
Okay, Casey, we look in the car.
Okay. All right. Yo. Yeah, how about you? How was your weekend? You still there? Oh.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I wasn't looking at the camera, so I didn't know.
So your boy got married this weekend?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Were you a groomsman?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think I saw the picture on IG.
Oh, okay. Yep. Beard kit. Oh, shit. I should come with a brush and shit, too. This is the first time opening it, this thing. So, shit. Some nice packaging there, bro.
Just be careful with that buzzer, man. Be careful with the buzzer.
Yeah. That,
see,
that
it started to come back in. I think I may just keep it at this length.
Yeah. All right, no doubt. Oh, Lord.
Oh, shit. We got NBA report hats in.
Yeah. I just got this one sample made. Let's see. Test it out for a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I got Corey coming on tomorrow for NBA report. Set around like 1:30 if you're going to be free.
Yeah, I'm available.
Okay. Beard balm, conditioner, shampoo, oil, leave-in softener. Shit, I just ordered some shit. I didn't even need that shit. I'm about to take that shit back.
When are these Oakley glasses supposed to get in?
I don't know. They started, man. I'll just send you these. No problem. The trial's over anyway. I don't need them shits.
Okay.
Beard balm, styling pomade, conditioner, beard oil. What time is it? 10 to 12. Directions, massage, conditioner, decomb, leave-in for an all-day, all-night. Yeah, I'm about to take back. I just bought some fucking beard oil and shit. I don't even need that shit. Let's just use this. Okay. All right, so I got my shit ready. Boom, boom, boom. Okay. Oh, they give you scissors, too?
Yeah, man.
Sorrow, man.
The kit is legit, man.
Mm-hmm.
Kit is legit.
All right. Yeah, just say that. No testimonials.
No.
Just say the kit is legit. Oh, my God. The kit is legit. Yeah, so you got the rundown, right?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. All right.
What are you talking about with Corey tomorrow?
Well, I figured we could just do Summer League standouts. Mm-hmm. If you want to do it, it's up to you. I figured we could do that. All right. Where are we at? Okay, let me get this up there. Make sure my AC's on. What's going on? The dog days, man. We are officially in them. Officially.
For the Knicks. I mean, once we get some FIBA shit, I feel like it'll be relevant.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. And if those games are on in the Philippines, trying to think, what time will that be here? I feel like it would be like a respectable time here.
We're playing the Philippines?
Yeah, hang on a second. Hang on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you didn't see it?
No, I'm just trying to look at the time.
No, let me check. Hang on a second. Yeah, ready? Still there? Oh. All right, ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, go. Okay. What's going on? At a destination. All right, look up 1 second. Manage broadcast. All right, here we go. Salute to Knicks Nation on this Sunday night. Another edition of Knicks Weekly, episode 65 on tonight's show. Who's the best player in New York? We're going to talk about it tonight. Also, the FIBA World Cup is coming up.
And we're going to go through some of these rosters, man. We're going to talk Team Canada, RJ getting the start, Team USA, and a lot of others, man. A lot of other interesting teams, man. We're going to talk about that. Plus, Evan Fournier was almost dealt. We're going to talk about that and what that could mean for the Knicks as they try to maneuver and get some roster flexibility. All of that and more, man. CP the Franchise, Alex Chitaros on the ones and twos. Hit that thumbs up button for your boys. It is the dog days of the NBA. But we don't sleep here at Knicks Fan TV, man. We are the gift that keeps on giving. So give back by hitting that thumbs up for your boys. Hit that like button, hit the share button, hit the subscribe button, and most importantly, lock in for another great show, man, because this is Knicks Weekly, episode 65, presented by KnicksFanTV.com. Al, how you feeling, man?
Feeling good, bro.
Yeah.
You know, still a little sick.
Ooh.
from Vegas.
Mr. Vegas caught the little Vegas bug.
Apparently, man, you know, you live your best life out in Vegas, and next thing you know, you come back coughing up a lung.
Man.
It's not bad, but it's very annoying. It is the most annoying thing, especially when you try to work out.
Yeah.
Like I've been doing runs, man. So I've been averaging about 3.5 to 5 mile runs every other day.
Oh, man, that sounds terrible.
But yeah, with a stuffy nose, you're like, it's terrible.
Yeah.
God awful.
Wow. Well, speedy recovery to you, man. And you know, one day at a time. Because we got next.
How's your weekend, man?
My weekend was good, man. You know, the homie got married. So it's my homie Steve-O and his lovely bride Liz. So it was a reunion of sorts for the squad. It was a nice weekend. You know, it was a groomsman in there, so I had to get dapped up and did the damn thing, man. Had my tuxedo and bow tie. You know, got my little James Bond on. You know, lady was looking great. Squad
there
was looking
go.
Great. Bride and groom looking great. So it's a good weekend.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of brown liquids. We won't say the name because they didn't sponsor the show. But
I'm sure you were staying hydrated.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I was quite hydrated, man. So thank you for asking that, man. Thank you for asking. Yeah. Absolutely, man. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you, boys. Salute to Jay Cal in the chat, man. Salute to all our loyal franchise channel members. We see everybody in here. And it's good to it's good to be back just to talk basketball, man. You know, it's a little off season, but we're never truly off. But, you know, let's wrap up Summer League, man, as a first order of business, man. Knicks Summer League team, a lackluster, no household names, but they still finished 2-2 on the campaign. You and I got to see a couple of games out there during the first weekend of Vegas in which they lost both of those games. And then they were able to they won against the Boston Celtics. And then they also won against the Orlando Magic before losing the season finale to the Denver Nuggets. So they finished 2-3 on the campaign, rather. Not 2-2. They finished 2-3 in the campaign. Had a spirited comeback against the Nuggets last night, but it was all for naught. Now, there are a couple of players, obviously, that we've been watching here, even though the Knicks didn't have a first-round pick. Number one was Isaiah Roby. I wasn't too impressed. First rule of Summer League, it's only Summer League, but my overreaction is that I really wasn't impressed with this game. You know, for a guy that should be competing for the backup four spot on this Knicks roster, to me, he should have been leaps and bounds the best player on this roster in all these games, and he just wasn't. You know, he just wasn't. To me, that nod went to Charlie Brown Jr. I was very impressed with Charlie Brown Jr.'s game. I think he should get a camp invite. But Roby, I really wasn't impressed with much of what he did in Summer League, man. What about you?
Yeah, I wasn't too thrilled with what Isaiah Roby did during Summer League, man. I mean, you could say, look, he hasn't played since February, March, so he's got to knock off a little bit of the rust. You know, he was signed towards the end of the season for the New York Knicks before they went into the playoffs. But with this much time off, you know, even before the camp started for Summer League, I expect you to come out hooping. I expect you to ball out. You've been in the league for a couple of years now. You've played on OKC. You played on the San Antonio Spurs. This past season, I should say, no excuse why you should come out in Summer League when most of these guys are fighting for a roster spot, and you already have been in the NBA should you be that lackluster. Now, he did have a decent ending to summer league, but not enough for me to say, okay, we got the backup four position figured out. You know, even Keith Smith, you know, he talked to some front office executives, and one of the executives said that they could take care of the backup four position going into the season. Yeah. So, and that's during summer league, right? He spoke to them during summer league. That's when he got that intel. So that should tell you a little bit more about Isaiah Roby's situation with the New York Knicks. So I wasn't impressed. You weren't impressed. New York Knicks, obviously not impressed if they're thinking that they can resolve the situation prior to the start of the season.
Yeah, and I think that's why they'll continue to keep the rosters open. You'll see some more training camp invites, maybe some veterans coming in on some training camp deals as well. And we'll see where they go from there. But I'm not so sure that that he'll enter this season on this roster with this team or having locked up a backup four spot. Now, the other players to watch was Jalen Martin. Jalen Martin, the two-way player out of Overtime Elite, also was a high school player under former Knick guard Charlie Ward down in Florida. I thought he had an okay summer league. He didn't play in the finale against Denver. I don't recall I think he did play a little bit against the Magic, but didn't finish in the finale against Denver. I thought he was pretty decent. I like how he remained aggressive. I liked how he was attacking there. Needs to work on his jumper. Jumper wasn't as consistent, but based on the scouts that we had spoken to, remember we spoke to Corey Tulliver, Harvard Herald. He did speak on that his jumper really wasn't consistent throughout his career at Overtime Elite. However, in the playoffs, he did have his moments where he shot the ball fairly well. So he looks like he'll get some work in Westchester, and then it'll probably be a couple of years. We'll see what happens there. But, that was pretty much it for Jalen Martin. What were your thoughts?
Interesting how you think about Overtime Elite, the Thompson twins, Jalen Martin. Three top guys who don't have jumpers right now, yeah, who need to develop jumpers coming into the league. Yeah. But, hey, his ability to get downhill, his tenaciousness on defense is what you like about him. Westchester Knicks, man, as you already talked about. I will be excited once again to start watching some Westchester Knicks games, because prior to when we didn't have anyone on the main team, you start looking like, oh, what's Iggy doing down there? Oh, yeah. What's Lamar Peters doing down there, man? Maybe we should bring these dogs up. But now since we actually got a solid team, no need to look at the Westchester Knicks unless you want to check in on Trevor Keels. But now with Jalen Martin, I'll be tuning in to see what he can do down there, man, to see how he progresses. But need some work, man, obviously.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Trevor Keels, again, haven't been impressed since they drafted him. He's still young, 19 years old, out of Duke. The guard rotation is so cluttered anyway that it really doesn't matter. Even if he did have a good summer league, he still wasn't going to make the team. So for Keels, he's got to work on his game overall. Hopefully he just gets some work down in Westchester. And, I don't see much in his game. He did shoot the ball fairly well in their finale against Denver. Started to come alive a little bit there, but again, nothing much to talk about in terms of Keels. He's got to work on his offense completely, and so he needs a lot of development work.
Yeah, I mean, he had a good game against the Celtics in game four. He had 20 points, went 7 for 10 from the field, 4 for 5 from downtown. one of the very few good games that he had this summer league, but not – this is your second year, man. I expect a little bit more. I don't think his two-way is guaranteed for this upcoming season.
Yeah, I would.
So we'll see. Yeah. So I don't.
I wouldn't.
So, I'm sure you're going to mention one of the other guys who I think should deserve one of the two or three now. There's three two-way spots, I believe, for this upcoming season. So I think we'll talk about somebody else. But for Keels, I'm expecting a lot more, man. 2 years now. You had an offseason in the NBA. You should come in looking a lot better than that.
Absolutely. And shout out to James Harris in the chat saying that he should have stayed at Duke. And look, I don't know what the decision process is like for a lot of these guys in terms of making the determination to come into the league. But it's amazing how a guy like that can make an illustrious school like Duke basketball team and look so bad at playing basketball. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, man.
He must have been a sensational high school basketball player. But I don't know what happened after that, man, because I just don't see it. I don't see it. He must have been a superstar in his role at whatever high school or he went to or at Duke. Ah. Because I don't see it, man. And then to make the decision to leave, I don't see it, man. He's looking Europe bound.
I don't disagree with any of those points. Man. I was expecting a guy with a defensive tenacity. Honestly, that's what the whole
that was his reputation
coming out of the school, being a scrappy defender. You know, I even thought maybe with even in the NBA, maybe he could carve out like a PJ Tucker role because he could get strong, right? Because of his frame. Come on, man. Who knows? Maybe you talk about somebody who goes internationally, comes back, figures out what he needs to do, and then he can get back on track. But, yeah.
Yeah. Looking pretty woeful, man. But on the positive sides, like I said, I was impressed with Charlie Brown in every game that he played. He was nice. His jumper was smooth. Thought he finished well at the rim. Had some nice finishes. Played some good defense. I think he could get a training camp look. Maybe he snags one of the two-way deals. He's been in the league. He's been in and out of the league for a little while now, so he's not necessarily new to the system, new to the program. But overall, I was impressed with Charlie Brown's game, so I would look to pick him up. And then you have QJ Patterson. Now, QJ Patterson, and shout out to NBA New York, pick this up. Let me pick this up. QJ Patterson had a lot to say about his summer league experience, and definitely not going to read this whole thing. However, it speaks to what the summer league means to a lot of these players. You know, for us, a lot of these guys might not look like much. However, for these guys, this could be the difference in them accomplishing their dreams or not. And so for him, he spoke about his experience at Summer League and basically spoke about how he got the invite from his agent. He decided to take it and, you know, went in, spoke with Tibbs and just asked him, like, hey, what do I need to do to make this team? And he's an undersized guard. He's 6 foot, played in China, led the Chinese league in threes. So he's had some international experience. But overall, he's trying to crack it into the NBA. And Tibbs told him, hey, listen, as an undersized guard, it's got to start with your defense, obviously. What else is Tibbs going to say, right?
Right? Nah, it's going to be offense from Tibbs. Can you imagine?
He ain't telling him to learn 7 seconds or less. But he's right, right? You got to start with your defense, be a star in your role, be a scrapper, and make it hard for these coaches to not play you. And obviously, there was priority. There were guys on this roster on the summer league team that had the priority over him so that they were going to play over him. So it took a while for him to get his playing time. But according to QJ Patterson, look, he just stuck with it. Energy was his claim to fame. He just wanted to come with energy, outwork everybody, be the first one in the gym, be the last one out. And when Coach Yoshimoto gave him his chance, he had some pretty impressive moments, man. QJ Patterson in the games I saw, the Magic game, the Celtic game, the Denver game, he tried to bring the Knicks back into the Knicks were getting blown out by damn near 20 last night in the Denver game. And QJ Patterson started launching from downtown and almost tied the game at the buzzer with a three-pointer that just missed. So we'll see if he gets a shot at training camp and maybe a shot at a two-way or the G League team. But for him, he just says, you know, listen, he came ready. Be ready so you don't have to get ready. And that was QJ Patterson. So for a lot of these guys, they're just looking for that opportunity. You know, whether the team calls them for a training camp invite, some of these guys on this team, like a Striver, made the team based on a favor for, you know, friend of a friend type of favor. Some of these guys will get those opportunities based on that, relationships, whether it's coaching relationships or front office relationships that want to give a guy a chance. And, you know, that's their opportunity to try to make it.
Yeah. look, I would check out to see what Charlie Brown Jr. could do in the G League and have him on a two-way just for some depth. Also, you talk about QJ. If it's not with the Knicks, man, it's going to be with another team. I think when you see the tenacity that he brought once he touched the court, right, he was just aggressive, brought energy. That's what he talked about. That's what NBA New York's tweet is about. He talked about bringing energy, hustle. He did all those things, man. And the communication when you're on the court playing defense, he did all the little things that stood out during summer league, which is, as you noted, what these opportunities are for, to show out. How are you going to stand out amongst everybody else, and what are you going to do to be different? You know, when I was listening to Gilbert Arenas, like, they had the whole clip with Patrick Beverly, right? And my boy's bachelor party, he grew up in Chicago, and he grew up around the same time as Pat Bev, and he got to see Pat Bev, you know, tear up Chicago, drop 36 on an average 36 points on a nightly basis, or whatever you call it, how frequently high school players play. But what's the thing that he talked about on Arenas' podcast? How is he going to stand out? That was playing defense, being different, being tenacious, something that not a lot of people are going to do. So for QJ to be doing something like that, it's going to stick out to a lot of teams. They're going to try to, they're probably going to bring him on, whether it's not, whether or not it's the Knicks or not. Some team's going to give him a chance in their G League, and he's going to keep taking these opportunities, right? And if he gets to the point where it's the NBA and he can get a chance to shine, good for him. But it's these type of moments that you like to see someone like this embrace.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. So we'll see what decisions the team makes in regards to the roster. But that was pretty much the summer league thoughts. You know, not too much. We'll see what these guys can do. But good luck, because you had some good personal stories, like we just said with a QJ Patterson. So, you know, for us it might not mean much, but for these guys, this is their livelihood and this is their chance. So hopefully they can land somewhere, if it's not with the New York Knicks. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys, CP and Alex on the ones and twos. Call us up, man. We'd love to hear from you guys, 657-383-1509, or you could hit us up on the Knicks Fan TV Discord. Let me see which one of our loyal franchise channel members are in the chat. I see Ronaldo Maldonado in here, King Matthews in here, Jamaica Queen 22, never misses a show, Russell Whiskey, ditto, JJ always in here. Salute, salute, salute. Salute to our guys, man. Salute to TM. Jeremy Maynard in here, man. Haven't seen that name in a while. Mm. Jeremy, what's good, man? How you feeling? Jeremy Maynard in here. Salute. Anthony Parasol, salute, man. He's always in there. Salute to our guys. Eric L. Beats, salute. We got Ice Handsome in here, team hashtag new. Ice Handsome. Corey Mitchell, salute to Corey Mitchell. Salute to HV Carlos checking in from Portugal, man. Always in here. Salute, man. Jeremy Maynard, excited to be alive, man. Hey, that's a blessing, man. That's a blessing. Salute to everybody that woke up today and made it to 10:35 p.m. Eastern time to watch the number one show for the fans, by the fans. All right, where are we going to want to go next? Well, it is, since we're around this time in July, it is the one-year anniversary, Al, since we signed number 11, Jalen Brunson. Yeah, 20-year anniversary, man. Knicks signed Jalen Brunson to a cheap, family-friendly deal, man. I still can't believe that they signed him to this contract, but nevertheless, they were able to get it done. 4 years. $104 million. Knicks were able to sign Jalen Brunson last year. And that comes with a player option at $24.9 million in 25-26. And this is a descending contract, Al. A descending contract. So he got 27 this year, this past season. He's getting 26 this upcoming season. 24-9, and then a player option for 24-9. An absolute steal. And when you think about, obviously a lot of people were hating on it. He was overpaid. What are they doing? The tampering, this, that, and the third. He came in here from day one, took the city by storm, and has really never looked back. He's really never looked back. You know, every person that we had interviewed, remember, we had Harper on. Yep, I talked to Mark Jackson. I talked to, who else I talked? I talked to T-Mac. I talked to his old coach, Jalen Brunson's old coach, God Sham God, who's old coach at the Mavs. Everybody was right about him, man. Everybody was right about him, that he's a floor general, a leader, a dog. He was going to get this team in order. And he did that on the first day. First day on the job. He was just like, okay, this guy's the goods. I think the first 100%. Game, you just see him operating in the paint, footwork killing everybody, impeccable footwork, absolutely tough, gritty, mid-range game, assassin.
Yes, sir.
He was that guy, man. He was that guy. And, you know, say what you will about his defense. When we were talking about the that anti-flopping rule, you know, Brunson finished third in the league in charges drawn. Finished third in the league in charges, total charges drawn. Finished top five in clutch stats. I mean, this is what we had wanted in our four generals. Somebody that you could rely on, somebody that you can put the ball in his hands to take you home when you needed it. And there were so many games where he did just that for the Knicks. Come back from injury, come back from a foot injury. Okay, here's 48 points on your head, Spider, in Cleveland. Here's 48 points. Let's go shot for shot. Absolutely incredible, man. How do you look back on this, on the Brunson first year, man?
I love it, man. I mean, we were talking about it all last season, right? When there were the rumors like, oh, Brunson, Knicks, just because of the CAA relationship, Leon Rose representing his father, being Leon Rose's first client, right? You talk about Tom Thibodeau, Brunson being in the facility with Spree, Houston, all those guys over there. Growing up in the area, going to Villanova, so knowing this area pretty well. I mean, all of it just kind of led Brunson being a Knick, right? Just during that time. When the Mavs failed to extend him, that's when you know it was all over, man. There was a good chance that the Knicks could go get him. You know, last year when the Knicks played the Mavs and Brunson had, I think, a poor game. I think he had single digits. You know, a lot of people were out of him. I was like, don't let one game change what you think about this guy. This guy is still the goods, as you said. And sure enough, he comes through. Oops, man. Remember, we were watching, we were with Omni fan on that Friday, October 21st.
Yeah.
We watched the Knicks play the Pistons. What was everyone saying? We got a point guard. That's the thing that echoed throughout Madison Square Garden. Yeah. We got a point guard.
First game, the first home opener. We got
first
a point guard.
First home opener, man.
Yeah.
And how true those words still up until this day that we have a point guard. I mean, just his presence alone. Yeah, we say organizing the team, but look how everyone else was just able to slot in and have a good season. Look, Julius Randle goes back to being All-NBA and All-Star this season.
True.
Thanks
true.
To Jalen Brunson, having another guy who should have been an All-Star, should have been an All-NBA, got All-NBA recognition, right? You look at Quentin Grimes being able to now flourish, being a 3-and-D player. You have Emmanuel Quickly going into being a sixth man of the year, right? Because what – why? Because you have someone that you can rely on who can get you the scoring, who can create for others, and who is just a good leader. Selfless, man. He's a selfless leader. You see how he connects with everybody, whether it's the tweets online, calling Emmanuel Quickly Emmanuel and all those type of things, right? Understands what it means to be a team member at the highest level and how to lead a team. And thank God for Jalen Brunson, man.
Yep.
Thank God for Jalen Brunson. Yep. One of the best signings in near Knicks history.
Shot 42% from three in the 93rd percentile in the league. 49% from all mid-range, in the 85th percentile from the mid-range. Insane.
He's unstoppable, man.
Unstoppable.
For I forget where he ranked, but remember throughout the entire season they'd show the graphics like, here are all the bigs that are good at finishing around the rim, and then who up there is like top five, top six?
Right.
Jalen Brunson with all the centers. And it's like, look at this guy. The 6 foot guard is keeping up with all the centers in the NBA with a good percentage around the rim.
His turnover percentage, bro, he was in the 98th percentile in turnover percentage at 8.7. He was so good in taking care of the ball that in that final play in game five against Miami,
Six.
We were shocked. Right? Yo, the entire, we were in 40-40. the entire 40-40 was like let out a huge gasp, like, oh my God, like, bro, because no one could believe that just happened because he was so good in taking care of The Rock. And that's why I couldn't even kill him for it, bro. I couldn't even
But my man, how can you even kill a guy who out of everybody who was shooting bricks that game?
Yeah.
Shooting bricks. Without Jalen Brunson, this is a runaway. This is a runaway train for the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
Dude dropped 41 points to keep us within that game. 41 points after just playing the entire game the night before. Part of me thinks, man, if he doesn't come out in game six, because the Knicks had a lead. Remember, Knicks had a lead. He gets pulled out. Deuce McBride comes in. No offense.
Yeah.
Didn't even leave Julius Randle in. No offense. No one could create. I think that game could have been different. I think they could have pushed it to seven if Brunson was able to play another 48 minutes without taking a breather. That's how good he is, man. That's
absolutely
how much of a difference maker he is. You know, like, I get why Randle it got the All-Star and all the stuff this season, but it is really hard, man. It is really hard to watch for last season to think this guy didn't get any recognition for what he did for this team.
Man,
it really is. He
got snubbed, man. He got disrespected on everything last year. Literally,
and he's still getting disrespected.
Yeah, literally everything, man. So,
but he's still getting disrespected, CP.
Yeah,
you know what video I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to get to it. We're going to get to it. But there's another. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. Hit that thumbs up button for you, boys. Salute to El Barrio Cowboy in the building. El Barrio Cowboy. Salute to you. Salute to you. There's another graphic I want to pull up. This is from NBA University. Let me see if I can find it. They posted this a little while ago. I think I might have lost it, man. This was a really, really good graphic to show you where this kid is at offensively and how great he was this year. Let me just pull this up. Give me a hot second, man. I got to pull this up. It's very important.
All right.
Yeah, salute, man. Salute. Let me see here. What else?
I mean, if you just watched any Knicks game, right?
Yeah.
I'm not talking to all the fans. I'm not talking to everybody who tunes in all 82. But for people who don't tune into the Knicks, who cover the NBA at large, who just watch games that are on TNT, ESPN, so forth, ABC, and don't really tune in to what the Knicks do on a nightly basis like we do around here or all the Knicks faithful. Just watch a couple of Knicks games, man. I mean,
yeah,
there was a point where he was averaging close to 30 points throughout the season.
Oh, man. Right? Absolutely.
Remember that heater?
Yeah.
He was on a heater from January.
He was on an absolute heater, man. I'm really trying to find this graphic. It was incredible. I think I might have passed it, man. All right, give me two more seconds. I don't want to kill the people too much dead air time right now. Oh, man. I'm trying to find this thing on the spot. I can't find it. Okay. I can't find it, people. My bad. But anyway, it was basically a chart to show you that offensively, versus like some really elite company, Jalen Brunson was really on top of his game. I can't find the graphic, and it's killing me right now. But let's get to the disrespect, as you said. Let's get to it. Because on the – which podcast is this? Point Forward Podcast. Mikal Bridges, one of my guys. I like Mikal Bridges. He was on the Point Forward Podcast with Andre Iguodala and Evan Turner. And he was asked, who's the best player in New York? Who's the best player in New York?
Ooh.
And let's listen to this conversation and react to it, courtesy of the Point Forward Podcast. Let's go. Here we go.
Best player in New York.
Jalen Brunson. Or Julius Randle. Dead ass?
Talk to this man.
All right, Rock, bro. Well, no disrespect to you, but...
No, who the best player in New York?
You know I'm going to say myself, bro.
No, Rock.
I'm talking about...
I got you, too, bro.
Think about this, bro.
Sorry,
when you talk
pound
about...
for pound, he's the best player.
Pound for pound, yeah. When you talk about, you know, the way he plays the game, the fluidity of his game, the many things he can do in the court, he can guard and play five positions. Julius Randle is doing that. I'm not taking nothing away from this game.
Jalen Brunson is like that.
Jalen Brunson is... He's a top-tier IQ basketball player in the NBA. In the league,
who's getting 40,
in the league,
17 and 20,
in
the
league
for
full of low IQ players.
You're absolutely right.
Which is sad that I say it like that because it sounds like I'm taking it away from Jalen, but yeah. I'm not.
All right. So that was...
sounds like I'm taking it away from Jalen, but I'm not.
But
kind of sounds like you are, bro.
Yeah.
Kind of sounds like you are.
I mean, look, nothing. Iguodala's accomplished. He's a champion. He's accomplished a great deal in this league, right? Not to tell him how to evaluate players.
I mean, this is the same guy who was hyping up Duncan Robinson over Steph Curry and Klay Thompson not too long ago in the bubble. Yeah.
But the thing is, say what you will about most of the NBA being low IQ players, having a high IQ to go with your skill set is what makes great players great players.
Wait a minute. CP, isn't that what LeBron gets complimented
right.
on? Like,
isn't that what Kobe got complimented on?
Isn't that what Jordan got complimented on? Am I missing something?
What am I missing? Please, I would love to talk to Andre Iguodala. J-Cal, that's J-Cal's guy. I would love to talk to Andre Iguodala. What am I missing here? Isn't having a high IQ, isn't being a smart basketball player what you want? There's a lot of talented players in the NBA, but having it together up here, in my opinion, is what separates the goods from the greats and from great to God mode, right? You're talking about LeBron, Steph, Jokic. I'm talking about God mode. It's when you have it all together up here, when the pressure's on the line in the fourth quarter, and these guys are still cerebral and killing you as if it was the first, and then turning it up a notch. You can't speed them up. You can't turn them over. You can't force them into a bad mistake. Locked in. Isn't that what you want?
That's what I thought. But apparently that gets you overrated, even though he's not really saying that. It's kind of what he's alluding to.
Yeah.
When you hear what Iggy's saying, it's like, well, he's just really smart in a league that's not really smart. So it's
right.
like, why should that be praised? It's like, wait a minute, should we be praising that? When you go to school, don't you praise the kid that's being smart? Like,
right.
Did I miss something? It just sounds ridiculous to me, man, the fact that he would go that route. But All I can say is that Mikal Bridges is good, but there's only one out of those two guys this past season in New York, only one of them was playing in the playoffs between Brunson and Bridges.
There you go.
And one dropped 41 points against the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
I guess someone's like that.
Right. Listen, it's nothing against Bridges. It's nothing against Bridges at all. I thought he had a phenomenal season. He was phenomenal. I'm looking forward to, well, unfortunately, he plays for the Nets. But I'm looking forward to Mikal Bridges personally as a basketball player, continuing to elevate his game to see where it goes, because we saw something completely different once he left Phoenix to get to the Nets. His shot creation just took on a whole nother level. And I'm looking forward to seeing that. But there's no question. The best player, basketball player in New York is hands down Jalen Brunson.
I mean, here's the other thing that really bothers me from that take from Andre Iguodala. It's like, did he watch last year's playoffs when
right.
Luka was out? And
right.
and you saw watch the Mavs against the Utah Jazz, and you see Jalen Brunson go out there and ball out? Did we not just watch how the Mavs took a step back without Jalen Brunson to start this season?
Yeah.
Didn't they close down Luka and Kyrie to tank and just get a draft pick instead of making it through the play-in or even getting a spot in the playoffs? I guess that's how important that guy is, because guess what Phoenix was able to do? Granted, you traded for Kevin Durant, but still, he goes over to Brooklyn. Brooklyn was already in a good place when Bridges got there, right?
East
was already shuffled up. Sixth seed, what happens? Come on, man.
Yeah. Offensively, I'd take Randall over Bridges.
Yeah.
I still need to see a larger sample size from Bridges. Offensively. Defensively, he's better than both. But all around, I'm giving it to Brunson.
All around, for sure. I mean, yes, I even give it go to Randall over Bridges, because once again, who helped carry the New York Knicks into the playoffs for second season here?
Yeah.
Could
Mikal Bridges do that?
Can he go carry a team?
There
Let's go see that before you start knighting a guy who drops 44 points in a Brooklyn Nets jersey and is just happy to be there in the playoffs. Yep. Can we watch him do something before, you know, for even half, not even half a season in Brooklyn? All right, come on now. Like, look at the resume.
Facts.
Let's just go. That is just that simple, man. But this is what Iggy does, bro. This is what Iggy does. He goes out there. He's ready to stir the pot. Okay, I guess he's looking for some people to recognize his name for some investors in whatever tech or crypto he's trying to do out there.
Yeah.
You know, because I know that's what's big there in San Fran. I think that's what he's doing. But hey. This is the same guy that was hyping up Duncan Robinson over Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Shock me.
Oh, man. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. All right, let's get to the phones, man. Hear what the people got to say. Area code 609. What's your name? Where are you calling in from?
Oh, man. It's Val from Jersey. How you guys doing?
Val, how you feeling, Val? How you feeling, bro?
Good, man. Always good, man. I want to touch on one topic. What's the point of, like, this whole thing of trying to, like, basically get Karl Towns? Because I've been reading a few articles and stuff, and I've been seeing that, like, the Knicks could have had Karl Towns, but his contract was bad, and Karl Towns is the most expendable player on Minnesota because I guess Ant Edwards is the face, and nobody wants Rudy Gobert. And I just want to know your thoughts about Karl Towns. Like, his offense helps our team, but I just feel like, it's just too much money for just shooting. But thank you guys, man. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it, Val. Appreciate it, Val. And Val was the DeAndre Ayton guy. He was the guy that wanted Ayton on the Knicks. So I'm sure he's not so happy that he's still there. But, you know, I haven't heard of any strong rumors of Cat to the Knicks as of late. Right, we did speak to our guy John Krasinski of The Athletic. We should put that conversation. It's on the NBA report, number one NBA show for the fans by the fans.
Yep.
We did have a good conversation on that, and based on what he was saying, he didn't see anything imminent in terms of Minnesota really pulling the plug on the Towns experiment just yet.
I'm looking to see, because I thought I saw recently where the Knicks have cooled off. Or they're not that interested in Karl Anthony Towns. I'm looking to see where I can find it. It's very recent, too, where I saw that. Mm. It was with Ian Begley on Zach Lowe's podcast.
Yes.
And the quote right here is from Ian Begley is, what I had heard was that the salary, some people felt that the salary was just too onerous, at least at this point. That's one part of what Begley said. He goes on to say, but listen, I think obviously this dynamic can change at the drop of a dime. I do think, though, that if they love the idea of Towns right now, they could have had him. That's just my kind of read on the landscape in general. So I think that tells you that they don't see him as the ultimate fix for everything or the player to take them to the next step. No questions asked. That's from Ian Begley on the Zach Lowe podcast.
Mm.
We know how Ian's connected with the Knicks, man. We know Ian is tapped in. I'm reading that as Knicks aren't really that into Karl Anthony Towns,
right?
And he doesn't solve a lot of problems, man.
Right. Yeah. It's just simple and plain. Like, he just doesn't solve enough. Now, yes, offensively he will help, but defensively I don't buy it. I think he makes us much worse, and so for that reason I'm a lot more leery. To get him in here. When we look at the contract, it is a pretty steep contract, man. Let's take a look at this here. Karl Anthony Towns. Okay, you're talking about now he's got 36 coming to him this upcoming season. Then he's got 4 years at $234.5 million. So you're talking about in the next season, 24-25, we're talking about 52, 56, 60, and then a player option for 64 in the 27-28 season. Yes, salary caps are going to be going up, bro, but that is still pretty damn steep.
At a center position, look, man. If I'm paying that, if you're paying that much money for a center, right? He better be able to compete with Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid on a nightly basis.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he ain't doing that.
Yeah. I'm talking about MVP levels. MVP levels.
For that type of money, he better be MVP level, and he's not.
Yeah.
Like, look, man, he's a good shooter, good three-point shooter. You want to talk about a big who can put the ball on the deck and drive to the basket, he can do that. Laterally, defensively, he gets smoked, all right?
Yeah.
It's just and that's what you need on a Tom Thibodeau team, all right? And personally, I just like my center to be able to guard the paint and being able – like, I like what Mitch can do, man. I know everyone's like, well, Mitch can't do this offensively. Mitch can't do that offensively. But what Mitch offers on defense is so vital for this team. He is truly the safety valve. Unless you want to see the Knicks just run up the points and hopefully they can win by 140 and still lose, because that's what it would be like with a Karl-Anthony Towns playing the five. All right? And I get why everyone thinks Karl-Anthony Towns stretch the floor, big, can open it up for Brunson, RJ, Randall. But he needs to be more of a complete player, man. Yeah. I would understand if he was on a lesser contract. He's making money more than what Brunson, RJ, and Randall are. And especially between Brunson and Randall, I don't see him being better than either one of them.
Agreed. Agreed, man. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Some more franchise channel members in here. Salute to J-Tap. Salute, salute. Junior Caroma, always in here, man. Never misses a show. Junior, somebody was just hitting me up saying they're looking forward to football season as baseball season has been lackluster here in New York. Likewise, man. Giants also unveiling a new field. Got rid of the disgusting turf that's been, you know, taking people out. But, yeah, man. Salute to Junior Caroma, man. We're getting ready for football season.
Mm.
Okay. Who else we got on here? 917. What's your name? Where are you calling in from?
Yo, it's JJ from Brooklyn. What's good, fellas?
JJ from Brooklyn. What's really good? How you feeling?
What's good? Feeling good, man. How you guys doing, man?
Yeah, doing all right, man. Doing all right, man. Enjoying the summer, you know? How's your summer going, man?
As a Mets fan, man, it's brutal, man. They're an embarrassment. Yeah. They're a disgrace. I've waved the flag. Mm. I'm ready for gangrene. Training camp starts really soon. We're on Hard Knocks, so yeah, my Mets. It's been a cruel summer watching that garbage. Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready for some Hard Knocks. Why not, man? Why not, man? But yeah, CP. Actually, I wanted to thank you, man, because a few shows ago you said with me, I know I've been hard on RJ. I get it, you know. I know I have been, but I appreciate when you said that. You don't look at it as hate. You look at it as criticism. And for the record, listen, I don't hate RJ. RJ's a great kid. He's the type of kid you'd want your daughter or your niece to marry. He's a great kid. Like, we all have players in every sport that we're just not a fan of on the court or on the ice, you know, on the field, whatever it may be. But it doesn't mean, you know, root for them. Believe me, when RJ was having his big moments in the playoffs, I was cheering just as hard as people in the RJ has. That doesn't mean, you know, root for them or you don't want them to be successful. As long as RJ's a Knick, I'm always going to root for him, you know? Whether he's here a year, it's 15 more years, I'm always going to pull for him. It won't be the first or the last time I've been wrong about a player. You know, it's nothing personal, you know? I'm always going to root for him, regardless of whether I'm a fan of his game or whatnot. But like you said, I don't hate RJ at all, man. He's a great young kid, and I hope he can – I hope he just, just continues to improve his game, man. You know? There's no hate there, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, look, I didn't take it that way. I certainly didn't take it that way.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, man. Hold your head up.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot, man.
All right.
You too.
JJ from Brooklyn, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, man. You wanted to call and talk RJ out. He wanted to call and talk about Broadway Barrett. So since we're going to talk about that, let's segue to the next topic, which is the FIBA World Cup, Al, is coming up. FIBA World Cup is coming up. Yes, sir, it is. Let's talk about it, man. Some of these teams are pretty interesting here. And when we talk about RJ, Team Canada lineup has been announced. And RJ, it looks like he's going to be starting here, man. Team Canada looking like a formidable squad right now. You got RJ, SGA as the floor general, Jamal Murray, the backcourt mate, RJ at the three, Kelly Olynyk, and Dwight Powell. Then on the bench, you got Dylan Brooks, the richest man in Houston. You got Corey Joseph, Nikhil Walker-Alexander, Lou Dort, and a couple other locals from Mississauga and places like that.
I know you're trying to go over there. I get it.
Yeah. A couple locals. No disrespect to them. I'm not familiar with them. But anyway, what do you think about this, man? Team Canada, how do you like this roster, man?
Solid roster.
Yeah.
I think it's a solid roster. I'm not, you know, I mean, it's FIBA, right?
Yes.
But it's the FIBA World Cup. I think it's a solid roster, though. I like this type of stuff, man. This is more reps for RJ. You know, we had that whole Fred Katz article last year where he didn't really play much basketball because of the looming contract extension, so he was lifting a lot of weights. Mm-hmm. But good to see that he's playing for his country. I'm interested to see how he fares against Team USA, man, if they get a chance to play. That will be the interesting thing. I mean, we'll have three Knicks in the FIBA World Cup.
Yeah.
Look at that. You're going to have Jalen Brunson, RJ Barrett, and Josh Hart.
There you go. Now, they're not matched up. We'll get to the USA roster. They're not in the same group as the USA.
Right.
So if they did meet, it would be in some sort of knockout stage, which would be even better, you know, higher stakes. Well, for Team Canada, man, I mean, to have – I believe they are second in terms of NBA talent. I believe they are second to the U.S. France has got to be there somewhere. But Team Canada, in a 24-year drought, has not made the Olympics in 24 years.
Wow.
Incredible. So we'll see if they can break the curse here. They've got to finish in the top two in the Americas region to automatically qualify for the Olympics. So let's see what happens there. I think it's a good squad. I like the squad. I think the starters, I mean, come on, man. You got SGA and Jamal Murray leading the backcourt.
That's box office right there.
That's,
you know,
box office.
That's really why I like this team. The front court, you know, like RJ, Kelly Olynyk, all right, season stretch big. Dwight Powell, he's okay center. But really looking at Jamal Murray, SGA leading the way. Let's see if RJ can be, you know, the completion for that big three for Team Canada.
Right. Absolutely, man. Now, for Team USA, the Stars and Stripes, let's get to it, man, because it is led by, you heard it first, number 11, Jalen Brunson, the floor general for Team USA, man. Steve Kerr has said he's going to lean on him to be that guy. So, sorry, Halliburton, but it's our team, okay? So, this thing is going to be running through number 11, Jalen Brunson, as the leader here. Now, the starting five for the U.S. hasn't been announced, but I got to imagine it's going to be Brunson, Ant-Man, McCall. Who starts, McCall or Brandon Ingram? I think McCall. We need some two-way – we need defense out there. I would have to think McCall starts at the three. Or do you go Brandon Ingram at the three? It's kind of tough. What do you guys think
That's tough.
What do you guys think of the chat? Are we going Brandon Ingram at the three? Or we go McCall Bridges? I would have to lean Bridges.
You're going to lean Bridges?
I like Ingram. Ingram's my guy. We got a little more scoring punch, but we got to defend too. This is FIBA. We got to defend. Remember, you can goaltend. Mm-hmm. I need some wingspan. Knock that ball off the rim. I need Mikal Bridges out there, bro.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Or do you just want to go, you know, high octane offense to get Brandon Ingram out there? I'm kind of feeling the high octane offense, man.
I do like that, man.
I do like BI out there.
Yeah. And, I mean, you still got – so now at the four, we're going Paolo, right? We're going Paolo at the four. And then at the five, we go get Jaren Jackson Jr.? We're going Jaren Jackson Jr. at the five.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then that's tough. And then on the bench, you're going to go
– I can see why you want Mikal Bridges in that. Next to with Triple J,
come on!
I can see that. I can see that.
Bro. We
got
to play defense.
Powell out there. I can see that.
Yeah,
I can see that.
Right, But so now on the bench, you got Halliburton.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to go Austin Reeves.
Mm-hmm.
B.I. Cam Johnson. Walker Kessler. Bobby Super Reserve. Oh, what about Josh Hart? We got to get Josh Hart in the rotation, bro. Oof. How are we doing this?
Well, Ant-Man's starting at the two. There's no question.
Ant-Man's in. Ant-Man, yeah. I got Ant-Man in the starting in at the two.
Mm,
but off the bench. Off the bench. Obviously, it's Halliburton.
I like that. I was thinking about B.I. as the three in the starting unit. I like him running the open floor with Halliburton on that second unit.
But
that's going to be fun.
Who's at the two? Are we going Reeves at the two?
Oh, yeah, man. You're going running and gunning with that squad.
Okay.
I mean, you can do the same thing with Josh Hart, but Reeves is a dog,
B.I.
too, man, who can score. And he's tough.
So at the four, we got to go Cam. Got to go Cam.
Oh, yeah. You space it out.
Got to. We got to go Cam. And then I need Kessler. We got Kessler at the five. That's a lock.
Yep.
So you're looking at potentially, we'll see where Kerr goes with this. You're looking at Hart and Portis as the odd man out in this one.
I mean, come on, man. This is also international play. It's got to be a little bit more, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's
offensively entertaining. I'm not saying Josh Hart can't provide some offense.
But remember, man, FIBA game, it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different. And this is when things get tricky, when we throw our hodgepodge rosters out there that's not, you know, dream team caliber, and then you're going up against your Spains, your France, your Lithuanias, guys that are playing together year after year after year. Remember, it's a smaller court. Three-point line is shorter. You can knock the ball off the cylinder once it hits the rim. It's a little subtle differences in the game. Shot clock, shorter game, 10-minute quarters instead of 12. It's a little bit different, the FIBA game. Ari says this team is whack.
Oh, brother.
Here he goes. The Toxic Boys are spinning it up in the chat.
He's back.
The Toxic Boys are back in the chat. This time, not so happy with Team Stars and Stripes. Barbara Carroll says, start Ionescu. Get Ionescu.
Oh, you saw what she did? You saw that three-point competition?
No, but all right, yeah, good stuff. Whatever, man. Look, the bottom line is we're starting Brunson. We're starting Brunson here, and we see where it goes. We see where it goes. You know? Hey, I mean, squad's all right, man, I guess. The squad's all right. We'll see what happens. You just never know. I'm going with Brunson and Ant-Man. See what happens from there, man. It's a 1-2 punch right there that I'm looking for. 1-2
legal
punch. Yeah.
Maybe Jalen Brunson could do a little, you know, while he's out there, you know, just start talking like, hey, man, you know, start networking a little bit. Yeah, well, man, let me tell you what New York is about.
Yeah.
All right.
A little recruitment here, man. A couple other interesting teams, man. How about Team Lithuania, man? This team is always tough in international play, man. You got Valančiūnas. He's got the slick back hair. He's got the mob boss look kind of, but he's all about hoops. You know, he's a dog. He's tough. You got Valančiūnas. You have our old friend, Ignis Brazdeikis. Iggy's going to be in there, along with another old friend, Mindaugas Kuzminskis.
Mm.
That was another guy. Some of you guys in the chat was Kuz Hive. All right, keep it a buck. Keep it real. And then making his World Cup debut, Al, Rokas Jakubaitis. The mystery Nick, Rokas, who's never coming to play for the Knicks, is going to play for Lithuania. This is a sneaky squad right here. And this is a sneaky squad, man. They always play tough.
Three Knicks on this Lithuania squad, man.
Yep. You got three Knicks on here. Put some respect on that name. So
who
Lithuania
would have thought that this is got a lot of Knicks playing internationally, man. What's going on
Lithuania
here?
Lithuania is tough. No, not Georgia, not Mexico. We're trying to get to Spain here. I think I'm at the top here. Hold on. Trying to get to Spain. Salute to everybody in the chat. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Spain has a little squadron here. Let me Let's take a look at it. Although it doesn't look like it was as good as past, years past. But they have they still got the Hernan Gomez brothers. They got Willie and Wancho. They have Rubio. Rudy Fernandez still hooping out. How about that? Wow. Rudy Fernandez is still hooping. Usman Garuba is playing.
Mm-hmm.
Santi Aldama, good player.
Okay.
Good player for the Memphis Grizzlies. So you know Spain will be tough. They will certainly be tough. Alex Abrines, Spain will be tough. Bo Cruz is on the team. Yes, absolutely. So Spain looks like they got a squad. Now France, as we know, Slovenia, you know, Luka will be there with Slovenia. See how they look. You got New Zealand in the mix. France, they're coming in here with Batum, Nando DiColo, Fournier. See, France is coming in here with chemistry. This is what I mean. They come in here with chemistry. The same squad, whether it's Olympics, World Cup qualifiers, whatever, they always got that squad. It's Batum, it's DiColo, Fournier. They got the stifle towel, Rudy Gobert. They've got the former Nick, Frank Ntilikina. Put some respect on his name. Yeah. And Yabusele. Yabusele is in here. So no Wembanyama. He decided to skip it. He's going to San Antonio, and he's just going to chill, wait till the Olympics. But this is France's team. Your thoughts?
I mean, they always have a solid squad, man.
Yeah.
So you can't poo-poo what France has got going on over there.
Right.
So, and you know, it's Frank Ntilikina, man. That's the secret weapon over there. Secret weapon.
Yep. Absolutely.
I heard that was Ari's favorite player while he was a Knick.
Yeah, Ari's big time Frank Hive. Absolutely. He doesn't want to admit what he was. Yeah.
That's the team Ari is excited for.
And then you got Latvia. Now, Latvia, they had a good – they qualified for this. They had a good team that qualified for the World Cup here. You got Rodions Kuroks, former Net. Kristaps Porzingis, the former Knick. You got Davis Bertāns. And a couple of guys here, man. Couple guys here. They've got a good team. They got a pretty good team. So we will see how they fare. And that is Latvia. So those are the teams that kind of wanted to go through. Now the groups, the USA is in the group with Greece, Jordan, New Zealand, and USA. I'm not sure if Giannis is playing for Greece. I haven't seen it.
Mm.
I didn't see that with Greece's roster if Giannis is playing for Greece.
I have not seen it either.
Yeah, and then Canada. Now, Canada's group is known as the group of death. They feel like this is the most competitive one. It's Canada, France, and Latvia in it.
Hmm.
So we'll see how they fare. Now, Team USA is going to be having a – they're going to play a warm-up game against Puerto Rico on August 6th, August 7th. And then I believe they travel for more warm-ups in Spain, Abu Dhabi, and then they go to Philippines to get it popping, get it started.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's
– ready.
You ready? Yeah, I'm ready, man. I'm ready. No, it's not Olympics, but it's a little something.
Basketball, man.
Yeah,
basketball.
It's a little hoops. It's a little something to get us – through the dog days of the NBA season, man. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. CP and Alex on the ones and twos, another episode of Knicks Weekly, episode 65, man. And ladies and gentlemen, it's time to unleash the beast within you this summer. Manscaped is here to help you level up your beach game with their new Beard Hedge Pro Kit. They're going past waist deep in the grooming game and diving head first to your facial hair fantasies. The Beard Hedger is a game changer, man, allowing you to shape your beard like a true beach bum. So this summer, let the beach balls bounce and turn heads all over the place. Visit manscaped.com and use promo code KFTV for 20% off plus free shipping, man. We've been telling you guys about the Beard Hedger kit. It comes with one guard. That's it. You don't need multiple joints, just one. And then you have your adjuster here. So it's very interesting dynamic that they got here with this Beard Hedger. And so you can cut 20 different hair lengths with one guard. So you don't have to have all the extra add-ons in the drawer. It's also waterproof, just like the Lawnmower 4.0 is waterproof. It's got a titanium-coated T-blade so that it's smooth on your face. Nice structure here. Nice weight. And then they also, in your Beard Hedger Pro kit, you also get your shampoo, conditioner, your beard oil, all of that, your beard balm. So it comes with a nice comb, a nice brush, scissors, all that. You know, your scissors, if you got some whiskers you got to take care of. So all that good stuff, man. They really take care of you. And that is the Beard Hedger Kit from our friends at Manscaped. So once again, go to manscaped.com. Use promo code KFTV for 20% off plus free shipping. And no testimonials, you know, just like the Lawnmower 4.0, no testimonials. We'll, you know, we're sure you're going to be out there looking like George Clooney and whatnot. But, you know, just keep that to yourself. Go ahead and support and go ahead and get that Beard Hedger kit, man. Get that Beard Hedger kit.
Yeah, man, that kit is legit. Yeah. Highly recommend getting it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. So we talked Olympics. We talked Iguodala blasphemy. What else we got on top, man? Little odds and ends going on, you know? Little odds and ends to talk about. Fournier almost got traded out.
Look at that.
Yeah. Fournier almost got traded.
To where?
Well, we're going to talk about it right now.
Oh, okay.
It was pretty interesting and tight. Let's get to the article from our guy, Michael A. Scotto, friend of the program. And let's see what the Knicks are thinking here. Well, let's talk about this, because even though he didn't get traded, I thought the thought process was still very interesting. It says New York, Phoenix, and Indiana had exploratory discussions on a three-team trade where Campaign would have joined the Knicks, TJ McConnell would have joined the Suns, and Evan Fournier and draft pick compensation would have gone to the Pacers, league sources tell Hoops Hype. There were also variations of the talk which involved Jordan Nwora, Hoops Hype has learned. Had the trade come to fruition, New York would have created a traded player exception of over $19 million. However, talks have stalled. Now, since this article was released on Friday, Campaign was traded to the Spurs today. So there goes that idea. Campaign was traded to the Spurs. Now, when the parameters of the deal was first announced, a lot of Knicks fans were like, what are we doing, Campaign? What are we doing with Campaign? The point of the trade for the Knicks was not to keep Campaign. It was to get that traded player exception, which Indiana had the cap space to absorb Evan Fournier's contract. It would give the Knicks that 19 mil. They would probably have sent some second round picks to the Pacers or something like that, but they would have had that 19 mil to use in a separate trade of their own. So I actually thought that was an interesting idea in terms of how to utilize their cap space, where they didn't necessarily have to take on a roster spot, an equal salary of somebody who they may not have wanted, and then had that TPE to make a move where they may not have needed to part with a player who they didn't want to part with just to make salaries match up. So I thought that was an interesting way to use Fournier's contract. Now, the fact that Campaign is now off the table, do the Knicks and the Pacers look for another team to engage in a three-team deal with? Because the Pacers still have a logjam in their guard rotation, and they're looking to trade TJ McConnell. Going to be interesting to see if this continues, if the Knicks are able to draw in another team and keep the Pacers involved here. It seems like these two have some good relationships as far as trade, so we'll see what happens.
Look at that. Rivals.
Yeah.
That are good. That are friendly when it comes to making trades.
From rivals to idols.
Trade would have been interesting to have Campaign, even if it was for a short amount of time on the team. You know, we don't know how fast New York would have been able to flip Campaign. So just from that, I would have been confused going into the season if they weren't able to get a trade done, because he still needs playing time. You can't just have him on the roster just wasting away. And then it's like, all right, we're going to try to get some value out of here. And everyone's like, well, why isn't he playing?
Yeah.
Well, we have other guards that we're interested in. Then why would you trade for him? So I'm always a little weary when a team is trying to trade for a player that they're thinking about flipping, that they're not, that they don't want on the roster. It's like, I'm trying to think of a good, what's a good analogy? It's like, I don't know. It feels like you're playing Monopoly. You're just stocking up houses on Broadway, yeah, waiting for someone to land on it. And next thing you know, you're just going broke. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, all right, someone's gonna land. Someone's gonna need a point guard. Yeah. Someone's gonna need this, and then no one comes through, and you're like, all right, looks like we're stuck with campaign.
Yeah,
on this roster, and we have no idea what to do now. That's kind of how I felt that deal would have worked out. So I get what they're trying to do in order to create the TPE. It's always wary, man, if you have no other suitor lined up. And that's the thing. We don't know if there was another suitor. I know teams try to keep that close to their vest. That way they can, you know, maneuver and get what they want out of it. But still, it's a little dicey in my eyes.
Yeah. Well, San Antonio looks to be off the board. They've got a lot of roster spots right now and only about $5 million left in cap space. So the Fournier-Wembanyama reunion does not seem likely. Now, is there another team that that the Knicks and the Pacers can engage? We'll have to see. Look, they can always bring Fournier into camp. All right, I don't think it's a priority necessarily to get him out of here, unless they just want to help him out because he does want to go somewhere to play. Where that will be, who knows?
Right.
Who's looking to get him some playing time? I'm not so sure. But, I just thought from a deal standpoint, from a framework standpoint, I thought it was interesting if they were able to do that. That would have been a major – I thought that would have been a win for them had they been able to do that and get that TPE. So now we'll have to wait and see what happens here on the Fournier front.
Well, see what happens. The good thing about Fournier is that I get that they're trying to create an exception on the books, but the other good thing is that this is the last year of him being guaranteed. You know, his fourth year is a team option. So they shouldn't feel pressed to trade him because if he is on this team, the way you can look at it, there's no trade now. Maybe there's something that happens by the deadline where a team needs a shooter. You can go trade him to that team. Maybe you can get some assets in return and not trade him super on the low. Or at the end of the day, season's over. You don't have to pick up that option. You have more money on the books.
Yeah. True indeed, man. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. I think I saw a super chat that had come in here. Renjawa says, any countries have a better bench than the USA? It's hard to tell, man, because like I said, you can't really look at it from names. You can't look at it by names. You got to see how they gel and play.
Yeah.
And that's what the benefit that a lot of these, like Lithuania, France, Spain, these guys play together, man. Now, Argentina's not in it. And they're not in this tournament. But these other teams, they have chemistry. They have guys that have been playing in these tournaments for years together. So it's hard to really just say by just looking at roster saying who has a better bench. Obviously, you're always going to look at the NBA team, but it's how they play in the FIBA-style game. That's one of the things that RJ's father, Rowan Sr., who's the president of Team Canada, was saying in terms of them getting their team together, was that it's important for them to be consistent in terms of their roster because they have to play the FIBA game. So you can't just look at it that way and just say, well, you know, they have names really don't necessarily matter in this. It's how they come together and play. So we'll just have to see.
Right. I mean, it's so tricky looking at what – it's so tricky because we see how France can perform, right? I'm looking up the roster. Let's see. Let me pull up the FIBA World Cup roster from 2019. All right. Let's see, is this going to show me the names? Mm-hmm. Is this going to be some? Okay, here we go. Here's CP. 2019. Where should this team have ranked? All right. You got Donovan Mitchell,
mm-hmm.
Harrison Barnes, You got Jaylen Brown. You got Chris Middleton, Miles Turner, Derek White. Who is this one? Kemba Walker.
Mm-hmm.
You got Joe Harris, Mason Plumlee, Brooke Lopez, Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum. Where should that team have placed?
Which team was this? Which this tournament?
2019 FIBA.
That sounds like, I don't know, that could be like a third-place team, bro.
You said that could sound like a third-place team?
Yeah, where'd they finish?
Not even in the top four, bro.
That's right. They didn't place.
They did not place.
They didn't place. That's
that
right.
Team.
That's right.
But Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Donovan Mitchell did not place.
Yeah.
In the top, not even the top four.
Right. Right.
Right. Spain won. Then it was Argentina. Then it was France who placed third. And then it was Australia who placed fourth. So even though we know these players and how they perform on their respective teams in the NBA, all that to say is, team could not perform well, man.
Well, true.
Let's not forget 2004. They won the bronze.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, that was a team, man. That team really let me down, man. I thought that team, they had all my favorite players on there, man. Melo, Starberry, LeBron, Wade, Iverson, Duncan. They had Tim Duncan on that team. Crazy. But it just goes to show you, like, you got to have – the right pieces. You got to have complementary pieces. It's a little bit different than the NBA game. And this was the quote from RJ's father, Rowan Sr., who heads up a Canada basketball. He's the general manager of the team. And he explains why the level of consistency is essential to getting the men's program back to the Olympics in terms of Canada basketball, where the style is different than the NBA. He says, you need to know how to play FIBA basketball. And that's why we needed a commitment. That's why we needed players that were going to stay for multiple years within our system prior to getting to an Olympics. You need them consistently here. That's what he said. And he's right. Again, you look at Argentina, Spain, France, Lithuania, all these guys play together and they play consistently. With the U.S., it's
different every year, man.
It's different, man.
But and for the U.S., you know, it's also like a marketing thing too, right?
Yeah.
Like it's like, all right, let's get some other players in there. Let's get some other people. And, you know, other players turn it down. The whole thing.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that the chef, Steph Curry.
Yes.
Never played in the Olympics.
Never.
I would have to think he plays in 24.
Has to.
Yeah.
How are you not going to play in the Olympics, man?
Yeah. The chef never played in the Olympics, man.
That's crazy.
I wonder if LeBron will do it. Like, will LeBron be selfish and be like, I'm going to play again and steal the stage from everybody? Would he do that? I could see him doing that.
Does he go out like a does he try to be like a Kobe? Like, try to be that dog? Try to be a mentor?
Try to be the OG of the team? I think LeBron going to try to steal somebody Ross's spot. Watch.
Or does he go the Melo route? You know what I mean? Does he go Melo, be like, all right, I'm here. Y'all need me.
Melo, the Olympic legend.
Yeah, man. Yo, Melo in the Olympics is different.
Different. Bro, he had no rings, man. He needed something to feel good about. That's my guy, though.
Still different.
Yeah. JJ said Steph would rather play golf. And that's incredible, man. He won the America Century Championship, man.
Yo, hole in one.
And a hole in one. Eagle the final hole. I mean, the chef is just, he's just incredible, man.
We need
science
to determine what that hand-eye coordination is.
Yeah, yeah. To make it clean.
He almost drained a backward shot while playing that day, right? Like, they had a hoop out there.
Yeah.
And they were like, yo, shoot it backwards. And he, like, hit the back iron. I was like, yo, this guy.
Yeah. I didn't see that. I didn't see that. But yeah, the chef, if he doesn't play Olympics, he could certainly play, if he doesn't play Olympic basketball, maybe he plays Olympic golf because he's just nice at everything, man. But shout out to him. Shout out to the chef. Discord, we go. Dan from New Jersey, rapid fire. Let's go. Rapid fire.
Hello, okay. Can y'all hear me? I'm on that DR Wi-Fi.
Yes, sir. Loud and clear from the Cow. Where are you at? The Capitol? Where are you at?
Yeah, man, Distrito Nacional. That's where I stay at.
Let's get it.
Yeah, man, listen. I think Bronson is going to have a pretty good time at these Olympics. I mean, not these Olympics, at FIBA, because the reason why you guys are talking about that players don't do that well from the NBA in that stage is because there's really no spacing. Like, if you watch the games, there's very little room to do your dirty work. You need to be, you know, really good at finding those, like, little places to get to your spots. And because Jalen Brunson plays with horrible spacing, I'm sure he's not going to lose a single step. Leads me over to my segue question I wanted to ask you guys.
Yeah.
Do you guys think, because I saw a stat on Twitter today that said Julius Randle took 314 more threes than Jalen Brunson last year, despite the fact that Brunson shoots 41% from three.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that if we ran an offense in which RJ initiated more plays, maybe you got our two guard quickly initiating more plays with Brunson, do you guys think we can get him more looks from three that way?
I think it's a good idea. I think it's a good idea to explore, right? But, like, you know, it's a catch-22 because Brunson's effectiveness was with the ball in his hands, right? So, but at the same time, like, he's right. Like, you know, Julius's three-point numbers were pretty woeful. And then on top of that, you look at, according to NBA University, top 10 worst corner three-point shooters this year with a minimum of 75 attempts. Julius and RJ were 9 and 10. RJ and Julius were 9 and 10. So
nasty.
I think that is something that the team should look at. Like, are there some sets where we want to get Brunson more catch and shoot opportunities or more opportunities to let it fly from three? And Grimes. And Grimes. You know, we're going to need that. They're going to have to tip the scales a little bit.
Don't forget, you got DiVincenzo on this team, too.
And you got DiVincenzo on this team. You got DiVincenzo on this team. So,
I think...
Yep.
I think you can get Brunson more looks. I think with someone like Dante DiVincenzo, if you have him or even Quickly out there, I agree with Dan's point. Like, Quickly, you know, have him initiate the offense. I think with DiVincenzo, who can initiate the offense, you can help Brunson play off ball and get better looks from three. And then conversely, if you have DiVincenzo or Quickly out there with Brunson, they can get better looks from three. So I think it can happen. The question always comes back down to, can Tom Thibodeau figure out how to make that work?
Yeah.
Offensively. Can he figure that out?
Facts.
Because if it's just the same thing that we saw last season with a lot of this ISO heavy centric basketball and set rotations and not a lot of mixing and matching, it's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough.
Now, he did speak on Julius. It's kind of a good segue, something that happened today.
Oh.
Yeah, he did speak on Julius. And today, you know, we're just posting content as a team, and we had these highlights from the Randle 57-point game against the Timberwolves. So we put it out there because he was locked in. It was a solid performance. So we put the highlights out there. We are highlight culture now, aren't we? Highlight generation. So we put it out there on Twitter. We put it out there on Instagram. And a civil war kicked off between the Randle haters and the Randle Hive.
Shocking.
Shocking. From the Randle haters, well, they lost anyway. And Torian Prince went 8-for-8. And then this wasn't the playoffs and this, that, and the third. And the Randle Hive had their counters. But that wasn't the best part.
What was?
The best part, Al, was that on Instagram, as I'm checking my notifications, there was a comment on the said post.
Go
from
on.
From one Julius Randle.
Oh! This is quite...
Yeah.
Wow. Look at that. Are you telling me that Julius Randle rocks with KFTV?
Listen, man. Rumors of our demise have been greatly exaggerated. That's all I'll say.
Oh.
That's all I'll say, man. I mean, you be the judge, man. You guys put your tinfoil hats on. You be the judge. I know I didn't write that comment.
I mean, you know, I'm still blocked over here, so, you know.
I don't know what to tell you, buddy. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, I could pass a word around. Maybe it goes through a middleman or something. You know, I could, you know, I've never been blocked.
Be nice.
I've never been blocked.
I mean, look, man, you were just telling me that you were invited to a CAA dinner last week, so
I declined. I declined the invitation to the private party. I did. It was invite only.
I mean, you don't have the connection, good sir.
I declined.
Yeah, but you still got invited, good sir.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
I did.
That means you know somebody.
I'll see. Let me see what
you
I can
do. You know somebody in CAA. There's somebody that's represented by CAA.
Well, let me see what I can do. You know, I don't know how you got yourself into that block situation. I tend to avoid those things. I've got a clean record.
All
as
right,
a conductor. I'm just a conductor. That I think they understand that at this point.
Mrs. Randall would say differently, but that's another story.
All love, man. That's what he said. All love. That's it.
All love.
That's it. You know. Anyway, that was funny. But look, it was a good performance. They lost. It was frustrating for sure. You be the judge, man. I'm just a conductor, man. I'm just a conductor. Okay. Who else we got on the Discord? Salute to everybody. Salute to Ari, man. Salute to everybody in the chat. Dan from New Jersey. Dan, that Wi-Fi and DR sounding popping, man. You good money, man. LD.
Well, it was.
Yeah, you good money, man. Yeah. I got to mute you, man. It's LD's time. LD, what's good?
I'm good. I hope y'all doing good. Okay,
good.
I'm going to make it quick.
Yes.
I do think it's important not to dismiss what Andre Iguodala said about Mikal Bridges or whatever his name is.
Yes.
Because you got to consider the fact that, first things first, this is a four-time champion under Steve Kerr. And I think this is actually a perfect time to have this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because before going to the Golden State Warriors, with the Sixers and the Nuggets, he was an ISO, get your buckets kind of player.
Sure.
As a player with Steve Kerr, who Kobe Bryant himself considered the greatest basketball ever played, the golden democracy, where everybody eats.
Mm-hmm.
I can see why he may look at somebody like Mikal Bridges and consider him a smarter basketball player than Jalen Brunson.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what I'm going to say, though. With the Mavericks, we saw Jalen Brunson do the 30 points, the 40 points in the playoffs in that system when Luka was out, because that's kind of how the system was designed.
Mm-hmm.
In New York, this season, he dribbled the ball and held the ball more than anybody in the entire league, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's Jalen Brunson's style of play specifically, or those are just the situations he's in because of the coaches he plays for and the systems that he plays for. But it's going to be very interesting to see, with the Olympics, playing for Steve Kerr. I know he's a starter, but I will be very interested to see if Steve Kerr runs basketball plays with the players in mind, as far as like the skills of the players, their mm-hmm. best skill sets, mm-hmm. running plays that way, or he runs his style of basketball, and it'll be interesting to see how Jalen Brunson fits in that style of basketball. Because we're yet to see, if I were to pick IQ, mm-hmm. I would pick Mikal Bridges' IQ over Jalen Brunson, based on what I've seen from Jalen Brunson so far. Just IQ.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we should dismiss like the idea that, yes, Jalen Brunson is an absolute dog.
Mm-hmm.
He gets his buckets. But from the point of view of somebody who played the same exact style of basketball that Jalen Brunson plays, mm-hmm. ISO dominant, and has gone to win four championships in the smartest, highest IQ basketball ever played,
mm-hmm.
I can kind of see where he's coming from.
Okay. I think that's fair. Look, I started, before we even got to the clip, I said, look, you got to respect Iguodala's resume, right? It's his opinion. It's his opinion. But I just feel like from an offensive standpoint, I think Brunson's IQ is up there with the best of them. Yes, he had the ball in his hands, but you still got to make solid decisions with it. And he did.
And I respect that 100%. Right?
Yeah.
I do respect that. I don't know how productive, again, I'm going to blame Tibbs' system
mm-hmm.
because it worked because Jalen Brunson was getting buckets and we were winning games.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to remind us, though, we were losing games before the trade deadline when we got Josh Hart, and then we won 8 straight. And mm-hmm. if you look at the statistics, addition of Josh Hart mm-hmm. literally changed the dynamics of our offense.
Mm-hmm.
It literally changed. Everything became ball movement first when he was on the court.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I do think it's important to note that we were losing games, a lot of games, before that trade. Mm-hmm. When that trade happened, the ball movement started a lot better, and we got better results down the line, right? And mm-hmm. I do, again, I love Jalen Brunson. I don't know if it's the smartest basketball, though. For him, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's another thing to consider. Jalen Brunson is $25 million right now. It's great. We can build a roster. We can build with depth. In 2 years, we're going to pay Jalen Brunson about $45
million. Mm-hmm.
Jalen Brunson at $45 million playing ISO-dominant basketball is different from Jalen Brunson at $25 million playing on a roster that can be built out with depth. Because now we're saying we are depending on this ISO-heavy six-foot mm-hmm. guard to basically be the center of the team. Is that winning basketball?
No. That's where you can't have that. You can't have it. I appreciate the call. I like your points. But that's not where the Knicks want to go here. You don't want to build a team around Jalen Brunson. You don't want to do that. He needs help. He needs help. Or is he going to have him in ice packs like Patrick Ewing? You don't want to put the team on his back on a max contract and have to have him deliver because they're going to turn on him just like they turn on everybody else. This is sweet now. It's a nice honeymoon phase. But the point is to get better players with him. You don't want to build around him. You want to build with him as one of your best players, right? Like Miami's got Jimmy, they got Bam, they're going to go get Dame. You know what I'm saying? You need that sort of situation here. You need that sort of situation. And then at the same time, yes, things change when you got Josh Hart here because you also had a good decision maker here, a guy that can play selfless, can facilitate the ball, gets rebounds, does all the intangibles that you need. And that overall is going to lift the team. I think that's what the impact that DiVincenzo is going to have. Overall, you need guys like that. And you also need good shooting. That will also help. That will certainly also help.
Yeah, I gotta push back on the whole, it was Josh Hart. Like, Josh Hart definitely did help the Knicks. I'm not going to take that away from Josh Hart.
Yeah.
But after that 9-man rotation change back in December, this team was on a 50-game win pace, was it not? Wasn't that what everyone was saying? This is on a 50-game win pace?
54 wins.
So if that's the case, prior to Josh Hart helped because we just added another guy who's good defensively, who was shooting hyper-efficiently. Dude was shooting 50% from three. Like, even though he was taking two attempts, he was shooting essentially whites out on small volume, okay? Also, he was great at fishing around the rim. But the reason why he was able to look great was he also had Jalen Brunson out there. Jalen Brunson shooting 40% opens up the lane for Josh Hart to attack. Jalen Brunson driving down helps Josh Hart get open threes. So the whole thing I like I hear what he's trying to say. I get it. Maybe it's so hard to measure IQ unless someone's going to sit down and take a test. Even then, it's not all exact, right? Because they could be close, right? They could be close.
Yeah.
The one thing wrong, but it doesn't necessarily fully measure everything they're going to do on the court. My other thing is this. Andre Iguodala